Hello, and welcome to One World, One Health, where we talk to people working to solve some of the biggest problems facing our world. I'm Maggie Fox. This podcast is brought to you by the One Health Trust, with bite-sized insights into ways to help address challenges such as infectious diseases, climate change, and pollution. A One Health approach recognizes that everything on this planet, the animals, plants, and people, and the climate and environment are all linked. Something's happening in Brazil right now that truly illustrates these links. It's an explosion of dengue virus. Dengue is carried by mosquitoes, and it can be both painful and deadly. More than a million cases were identified in Brazil in January and February of 2024 alone. That's a record. And that's before Brazil's main dengue season even started in March. The mosquitoes that carry dengue, Aedes aegypti mosquitoes, thrive among people. Part of the problem is urbanization. As people build towns and cities and cut down forests, they make nice living conditions for these mosquitoes. Climate change is also making things worse as conditions get hotter and wetter in many parts of Brazil. So, Brazil started a vaccination campaign. How well and how quickly will it help? Here to chat about that with us is Dr. André Siqueira, an infectious diseases physician who's principal investigator at the National Institute of Infectious Diseases at the Oswaldo Cruz Foundation, or Fiocruz for short, in Rio de Janeiro. Thank you for joining us, André.
My pleasure.
Can we talk a little bit first about dengue virus and the symptoms it causes?
Yeah, so dengue virus is a flavivirus that is transmitted by Aedes mosquitoes. And actually, when we are talking about dengue, we are talking about four different viruses because there are four serotypes that cause the disease. So one individual can have up to four infections or episodes of disease throughout his lifetime. And the symptoms it causes, it's usually fever, myalgia, headache, vomiting a lot of the times, and sometimes it can be also severe when it causes hypotension and eventually shock, hemorrhages, and it can be as severe as causing death.
And of course, it's the hemorrhages that I think people often think of when they think of dengue, because that's such a horrific symptom.
Yes, exactly. For a long time, dengue was classified as a hemorrhagic fever, and the severe form of dengue was referred to as dengue hemorrhagic fever. But what actually happens, most of the deaths and most of the complications arise from the shock. So it's a lack of blood inside the circulation, so that around only 15% of the deaths had a visible or noticeable hemorrhages. So it led WHO, the World Health Organization, to change its nomenclature from dengue hemorrhagic fever to severe dengue, so comprehending all the different manifestations of severe disease that could lead to death.
Is there any treatment for dengue?
So we don't have any specific treatment for dengue. It's something that has been researched for many groups. There are now new initiatives. There are new compounds that show some promise, but nothing with evidence of being used. So the clinical management relies on hydration and identification of warning signs as severe signs, so people receive the correct amount of fluid that can avoid these complications from shock and from bleeding.
Dengue is bad in Brazil this year, especially. There are several factors involved here. Can you talk a little bit about what they are?
Yeah, so this year, we are still in March, but we have reached up to more than 1 million confirmed cases. So it's really a lot. So last year, it was 1,600,000, which was already a lot. Almost every year there are epidemics or outbreaks of dengue in the country, but usually they occur in two or three states of the country. So this year it is more widespread and it's more synchronous, and it began rising much earlier than usually. And it's affecting currently nine states which have declared public health emergencies. So it's much more serious. And we don't know for sure all the reasons that explain this increase, but we have climate change. So it's much warmer. Last year was very warm already and it was a very high number of cases. This year it seems to be even warmer. So it does contribute to mosquito proliferation. there is increased movement of people, and the fact that dengue is now being transmitted in areas without prior occurrence means that almost all the population in that areas is susceptible to dengue infection. So this leads both to a higher number of cases because the number of people that can be infected is very high. And it also, at the same time, leads to higher morbidity and mortality because those health systems of those places were not prepared to deal with the effects of dengue epidemics. That is an increase in the number of cases, the workloads for the health units, for health professionals. And what we need during dengue epidemics is that health professionals and health systems act promptly on the suspicion of dengue. So we don't wait for any blood tests or anything. We have to start hydration orally or intravenously immediately. That's what can change the risk for severe disease.
And there is a vaccine. Can that help solve the problem?
So now we have a newly approved vaccine, the Takeda vaccine called Qdenga. Brazil is the first country that is incorporating this vaccine in the public health system. It was available in the private clinics already, and it is being distributed currently for individuals between the ages of 10 and 14 in areas of high endemicity, so with previous exposure to dengue, and preferably where dengue 2 is circulating in an important way. So why was this decision made? It was highly dependent on the ability of the laboratory to deliver the vaccine. So they could only deliver about 6 million doses. So it's about 3 million individuals that will be vaccinated by the public health system. And they chose this age group because it was, with the analysis of the Ministry of Health, the age group that was suffering the highest burden of hospitalization. So that was the rationale guiding that. So 3 million people will be vaccinated. It's 3-month interval between the two doses. So we can't expect that it will have a huge effect on the epidemics because it's a restricted age group and it's not the whole country. The full immunization will only be achieved with 3 months from the initial dose. So we will only be able to see the effects of this vaccination in future years because when more vaccine doses will be available and we can actually try to see if there is any community level impact on transmission because we don't expect that with such a restricted group being vaccinated.
So why even bother in the first place to try to vaccinate people if you can't stop the spread?
So the issue of vaccinating for dengue this year was controversial because some people said there's no point because even the Minister of Health said it won't have any impact in this epidemic. So efforts should be focused on other control measures or even in preparing the health system for the higher load of cases. The pro argument would be that to use this momentum of people being worried with dengue to start promoting the vaccination, showing that it's safe and it can have any individual impact and then scaling up in future years.
And I think you mentioned something, and it's something unusual about at least some of the dengue vaccine research that's been going on. You wanted to find people who might have had previous exposure to dengue.
So, that's also an important point talking about dengue vaccines, because this is not the first vaccine to be approved by regulators. We have the dengue vaccine that is produced by Sanofi, which led to major problems in the past, mainly in the Philippines, because this vaccine was shown to increase the risk of hospitalization and severity in individuals who hadn't been exposed to dengue before. And when they were infected with dengue, instead of being protected, they were at higher risk of severe disease. So this is something that is in the back of all the vaccines that are being developed and evaluated. I think that's important to understand a little bit about this dynamic between the four viruses of dengue. So one individual can have up to 4 episodes of dengue throughout his lifetime. So The antibodies against one serotype will protect against that serotype for the whole life, but they won't protect against the other three serotypes. What can happen, and it's a phenomenon called antibody-dependent enhancement, means that the antibodies that they can't protect against other serotypes, they can, in the other hand, facilitate the entry of the viruses in the host cells and amplify the infection. So the viral load that's reached in secondary infections is much higher. So we know that secondary episodes of dengue are usually more severe than primary infections.
So in other words, the goal would be to find a vaccine that protects against all four different strains or serotypes of virus at once. This is a really hard concept to understand, isn't it?
Yeah, that's very complicated to understand all this concept and all the science behind it and the challenges of having a vaccine for dengue. That's why we have in Brazil, we have epidemics of dengue every year for the last 40 years. So that's really a disease that we want to be protected for. But reaching that goal, it's hard because of that. And the challenge is, if we think about the current context of anti-vax movement, is to show that the vaccines actually protect individuals and not cause any harm.
Researchers in Brazil are working on a locally made vaccine. When will that one be available? And that will be a better vaccine than the ones that are out there now.
We are very positive about this new vaccine that is under clinical trials. It's produced by Butantan, but in collaboration with the United States NIH. It seems very promising because it is a single-dose vaccine. In initial studies, it showed to produce antibodies very homogeneously against the four serotypes. So the fact that it's a single dose and it's very safe, the initial results are very promising. Recently, the two-year follow-up was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, and we expect the trial to finish in July this year. So each individual following is being followed for 5 years in this study. So by the end of the year, we expect to have the results, and next year or in early or late next year to have this vaccine available.
Now, this one sounds like it might solve a lot of the problems. It's one vaccine, protects against all four types of dengue, so you don't have this problem with the more serious disease. Can Brazil produce enough doses to cover the population?
Yeah, so now that's all the discussion. There have been some conversations on collaboration with other laboratories to produce it together with Butantan and make it available. There's been some discussions on the possibility of having 20 million doses per year, which is it's a considerable increase. But these conversations are flowing. We expect that in 1 or 2 year time, we have a good quantity of vaccine for improving the coverage of the population. And then there's the challenge if people will take it or not.
Now, this virus is spread by Aedes aegypti mosquitoes, and they're really super hard to control. Could you tell us a little bit about how difficult it is to control the spread in the first place?
Yeah, so Aedes aegypti is a very effective vector of viruses. It transmits dengue, but also transmits chikungunya and Zika, which are also important arboviruses. And Aedes aegypti has adapted perfectly to the urban environment. So it doesn't need a lot to breed in very high numbers. It needs a droplet of clean water, can be enough, that sometimes no one even realizes it's there. And it has developed resistance to most insecticides. Unfortunately, in many of Brazil's biggest city centers, it's a lot of problems with urbanization, so there's a lot of breeding sites for the mosquitoes. So it's very resilient to most of the control measures we have.
But there are some new scientific methods, some new technologies, such as genetic modification, and there's this other special mosquito that's infected with bacteria called Wolbachia. Can you talk about those a little bit?
So the genetically modified mosquitoes, what they do is that the genetically modified male mosquitoes, when they copulate with the female ones, they don't cause fertile fecundation. So they don't generate eggs and new mosquitoes. So they can, if released in good numbers and in a sustained way. So that is the challenge, to keep releasing these genetically modified mosquitoes in big numbers. It can reduce the number of mosquitoes in the environment. The mosquitoes infected with Wolbachia. So Wolbachia is a bacteria that's common in other in mosquitoes, in flies, in the wild. But what happens is that mosquitoes which have Wolbachia in their intestines, they don't get infected by the viruses, and so therefore they don't transmit the viruses. So despite they being in the community, they are not transmitting the disease. So it's like a perfect scenario if we can eliminate the mosquitoes. And the advantage of these Wolbachia-infected mosquitoes is that if we reach good numbers of these mosquitoes in a certain geographical area, it starts transmitting to the wild mosquitoes. The challenge with Wolbachia is also we have to produce mosquitoes, have to these mosquito factories, those mosquito farms, as they refer to, infect them with Wolbachia and release them for a period of time, the mosquitoes that will be sustaining these Wolbachia infection in the community. And the challenge is also the community engagement. So people have been accustomed to saying of hearing that they need to combat the mosquitoes, and what the areas where Wolbachia was implemented had to work with the communities, that they have to accept the mosquitoes, try not to kill them with insecticides, so they would be protected against these diseases. And Wolbachia, where it has been applied with success, it has led to a decrease of 70% the risk of infection with dengue. So it seems to be feasible and effective at the same time.
So it sounds like you're fighting on a lot of fronts. You're fighting the virus, you're fighting the mosquitoes that spread it, you're fighting human behavior that helps spread it, and you're fighting the doubt around the science of vaccination, the science of genetic modification, and even the use of pesticides.
So a lot of discussions are being made currently because maybe it's human nature. We try to have this magic bullet. So either we'll have a vaccine or have something that will control the mosquitoes. But what we actually need and what can be more effective is have an integrated approach. So we'll have the mosquito control measures. We'll have the vaccine. We'll have desirably drugs to treat dengue if people, even though we are trying to prevent it, we'll have drugs to treat it if necessary. And we need community engagement and we need the public understanding and engagement for these tools to be effective.
Andre, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
It has been my pleasure, and I'm here anytime you need.
Listeners, if you enjoyed this podcast, please share it. You can learn more about this podcast and other important topics at onehealthtrust.org. And let us know what else you'd like to hear about at owoh@onehealthtrust.org. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening to One World, One Health, brought to you by the One Health Trust. I'm Ramanan Lakshminarayan, founder and president of the One Health Trust. You can subscribe to One World, One Health on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on social media at One Health Trust, one word, for updates on One World, One Health and the latest in research on One Health issues like drug resistance, disease spillovers, and the social determinants of health. Finally, please do consider donating to the One Health Trust to support this podcast and other initiatives and research that help us promote health and well-being worldwide. Until next time.